You are listening to the Men's Ministry Roundtable Podcast. This is a ministry of Christian Assembly Church in Los Angeles, California. I am your host, Marvin Enriquez, and this is how we get down.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Men's Ministry Roundtable Podcast. George, people don't understand the context of what you're saying if you just blurt things out.
We're talking about the fact that it's opening day, baby. Woo-hoo! Opening day.
Today is March 28th, 2000.
Dodger baseball.
And 24, it is opening day for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Sean and I are wearing our Dodgers gear and our Dodger shirt. Yep. We've got...
I bleed blue.
Some special guests around the roundtable, which I will introduce in just a moment. But first... Jorge Fernandez, it's time to get our party on. Let's go, George. Let's go.
Too much money's being thrown around.
That's a good line.
Here we go. Drop that beat.
Yeah.
Hey, here comes the bass line.
This sounds a little bit like Dolomite.
Dolomite. Well, welcome everyone to another edition of the Men's Ministry Roundtable Podcast.
Oh,
my name is
a guest.
You're just talking nonsense, bro.
Dirk should be a guest.
People don't know what
everyone
is happening.
Everyone knows who Dirk is. Everyone knows. Everyone knows Dirk.
My name is Marvin.
Hi, Marv.
Crazy Legs Enriquez. George, tell him I'm Crazy Legs.
You really want me to tell him?
No, I don't. I've got my little soundboards all queued up. All right. Around the round table, we got George. Hot Flash Fernandez!
Good morning, everybody. A lot of money being spent.
That guy's excited. Someone reached out to me on Facebook and said, why do you guys call George Hot Flash? And I think we need to revisit your nickname. Why is it...
It's not an official nickname. Apparently, you call me that, so
I don't know.
Do you know why we call him Hot Flash?
I have no idea.
I don't even remember.
Well, because every time we try to record in this room, you were having a hot flash and you were like hyperventilating.
Oh, no. No, that's not accurate. It's because...
I like to keep it cozy.
The center of the earth.
He likes it toasty. Where it's 200 degrees. Yes. I like it like 65 degrees.
Yes.
And he says, why are you always hot? It's not hot. It's just I like...
No,
nice and cool.
Cozy is nice. It's nice when it's nice and cozy. You
know? Right now,
90 degrees is not
right
cozy.
Now.
It is.
No,
I think it's too warm.
How
it's too warm right now?
It's very warm. Yes,
it's ridiculous right
already
now.
That I need to
it's
take
like
my flannel
50
off.
Degrees
yes.
outside.
No,
you're wearing
not
a flannel shirt.
It's not 50 degrees
and shorts.
Outside.
So that's why we call you Hot Flash Fernandez because you're always complaining about how
I'm going to call you Cozy Marvin.
How about Marvin
Cozy? That's a burn.
Too much money's been thrown around.
We also have around the round table, Robert. I'm not here today. Concepcion.
Hey.
Oh, what a change.
Why is it?
Yeah. Opening day?
Okay, these guys are cheering too much. Why? Hot Flash. Mr. Hot Flash, why is it that every time we record, Robert has an excuse to not come in the office?
He is on Filipino time with a Filipino schedule.
It is now March 28th, so almost April, and he has not come in for one recording of the podcast
this year. He has been to work this year.
Twice.
Yes. So that's more than last year.
Well, one time was Tom's 50th.
He will not be denied.
Birthday party.
Free meal.
We had a free meal, and then the other time was when we did a funeral or something. He had to be here, and you know, so it's like twice he's come in.
Poor Robert.
4 months into the year, he's come in twice.
Poor Robert.
The guy's out there playing golf right now. There's no poor Roberts here, okay?
Listen.
Black bang kang kang kang.
That.
That's Tagalog.
No, it's not.
Nope.
If you have any
our
problems,
listeners out there,
if you
Hot
have
Flash
any problems
with
that,
Tagalog because
it's Jorge F at CA Church. Dude, I'm not involved in this. I'm gonna mute you, man. Bro, don't insult our Filipino listeners.
Yeah,
by the way, we love
on,
you guys. But speaking of Filipino listeners, I just spoke to a guy this Sunday, and he says, "Hey, Marvin, thank you for putting on the podcast. I get to drive to Newport Beach and back."
Newport Beach.
And because of that, I'm listening to
really?
You guys. Yes, really.
Oh, new listener.
Awesome. Thank you for listening to
the
Man
of the Minute. Is that a new listener or no?
No, it's a repeat listener, but thank you, guy who's driving to Newport Beach.
Thank you, guy who's driving to Newport Beach.
Well, I don't want to say his name on the radio.
That's probably a wise thing.
Yeah.
Give him a nickname. Give him a nickname.
Also, around the round table is Sean, don't call me Chon, Strovas.
Hey,
the pirate.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a little bit of background. The reason why Marvin calls me don't call me Chon is because every weekend we have name tags at church. I'm already wearing a name tag, but already. Marvin feels like he needs to talk about throwing a lot of money around, George. Marvin likes to write random names on random name tags.
Why do you assume that's me? Table.
I watched it happen. I witnessed it.
Wait, okay, then it is
This
me.
Is a childish thing he does.
Yes.
Like he signs me up whenever there's a seminar by another another ministry is having a seminar. He puts my name first. Yes, I'll be attending... You know, how to believe in God.
Women in ministry.
Yes.
By the way, when I say
new moms. Yo, Jorge Fernandez signed up. Yes.
So, do you ever get calls about that?
No, because everyone is on to you. Lucky Baldwin's new
And
believers.
Because, you know, Marvin likes to be comfortable, he needs a Snuggie. So anybody out there that wants to get him a Snuggie for his office.
I would love a cozy Snuggie.
He needs a Snuggie.
I would love that.
Dude, I'm sweating. Open the door. It's 108 degrees in here. I'm serious.
That's ridiculous. Why we call him
speaking
Hot Flash.
Speaking of 108 Gosh, in
hey,
here.
Speaking of caliente, around the round table.
Dolomite in the room.
We have Hyro Fuentes.
Yo. What's up, Hyro?
Don't call me cornrows.
Yeah, I have a...
Hyro is sporting a brand new hairdo. He has cornrows. And we're not making this up. I wish we had a picture right now. Hyro, how and why did you get cornrows?
I just wanted to switch things up a little bit.
So cornrows.
Cornrows.
Tell us what
some guys shave their mustaches.
Name? You said the artist that you...
The artist's name is my girlfriend, Naomi.
Oh,
so
got
she
it.
She did it on Monday, but...
But what's the inspiration?
You guys ever heard of a guy named Maluma?
No, you said Don Omar.
Well, he's another guy too, but he had his things braided years
Maluma.
Ago.
Maluma. Hey, Jorge, have you heard of Maluma?
Yeah, I have all his
CDs
on my Spotify.
You have his CDs and his tapes?
I have his
in your
eight
track.
I have eight track.
I was watching a podcast and Maluma was on the podcast and he was getting his hair braided and I was like,
wow, on the podcast.
On the podcast, and I'm like, wow, that is a very handsome guy.
But look, you walked into this office today not knowing you were going to be on a podcast, and here you are with cornrows and a podcast, having been inspired by another dude with a podcast.
That's
who is very handsome,
man.
Full circle moment.
So,
I'm telling
Maluma,
the Lord,
all right.
Maluma. In some mysterious ways, he's
a Christian artist, right?
Yeah, we can call him Christian.
He believes in God.
Yeah.
Wait, but speaking
what does Maluma mean in Spanish?
Nothing. It's just a name.
Yeah, it's just a name.
But speaking of which, have you guys heard of Daddy Yankee?
Yeah, he's
Daddy Yankee is another artist in that genre. He just gave his life to Jesus, and he
Daddy Yankee.
That's his name, Daddy Yankee.
And he retired.
He quit the music industry because he gave his life to Jesus.
Wow.
It's a powerful story. You guys can look it up on there. He stopped in the middle of a concert and said, "I am now giving my life to Jesus." In the middle of this reggaeton concert.
Oh yeah!
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you can't be an artist and be a Christian? Is that why he quit?
Well, their lifestyle is
very crazy,
promiscuous, and crazy. Yeah. I mean, think of a hip hop artist. I mean, it's just, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think of the bachata dance.
Exactly. All that stuff. Well, guys, thank you so much.
Redemption. Come on.
It's a great story. Yeah, thanks so much, guys, for listening. We have now, listen to this, guys. We have 13,150 people that have downloaded an episode of the Men's Ministry Roundtable.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
I mean, we
there's 13,000 people out there that care about what we're about to say.
I don't know how and why.
That's amazing.
They do. Speaking of which, I was taking my son to soccer recently, and we were driving one of his friends, and my son, who's 15 years old, says to his friend, "Hey, buddy, my dad has a podcast." And then, of course, his friend's like, "Oh, I want to hear it." We're in the car.
No, you don't.
And I'm like, "No, you don't. No, you don't, kid. You do not want to hear it." They insisted, "Dad, put on the podcast. Put on the podcast." So I put it on. And we listened to it for like 5 minutes, and I'm embarrassed and whatever. And so I turned it off, dropped the kid off at his house. I get a text from the kid's mom saying, "My son has been listening to your podcast regularly."
That's amazing.
Like, what's going on right now?
That's amazing.
So shout out.
So Hot Flash, you need to watch what you say there.
So a quick shout out to our boy Reese is out there listening to us.
What's up, Reese?
That's awesome.
Thanks for being one of our 13,150 listeners.
That's amazing.
You know what? Maybe one day you'll be a guest.
Okay. I have a question for you guys. I've been noticing something. Speaking of grooming there, that Jairo has inspired me on.
Easy.
On the grooming.
Oh, got it. Got it. Good.
The grooming.
Got it.
Come on. This,
you know, I like George with a beard on. I like
I do like George with a beard on.
Speaking of grooming.
He's got that gruff exterior there going on.
What are you trying to say, man? I trim my beard.
You look nice. You always look nice with your beard. I like the
It was a little big though.
Was it?
It was very full.
It was very full. But listen, so I've been noticing white hair in my eyebrows. And George, I see you have got plenty of white hair.
No, I have two. I count.
You've got plenty of salt. You got that salt and pepper thing going on.
Yeah.
So what do you do with that?
What do you mean?
Just for men, no?
On your eyebrows?
Isn't there a Bible verse that talks about that?
No,
like
I
that's
don't know.
Wisdom, like
you know,
your gray
yes.
hair is
in
actually
your eyebrows.
Gray hair
the
is
Bible
yes.
says gray hair in your eyebrows is
gray
good.
Hair. Period.
Well, I'm talking about
gray
your
hair is a crown of glory.
That's
it's achieved
right.
by living
Listen,
a godly
I've had,
life.
Come
I've
on,
had,
George. Yep. Say it again for those in the back.
Gray
row.
Hair is a crown of glory. It is achieved by living.
You
a godly
have obviously
life.
Embraced
so
that.
Don't try to cover it up, Mark.
Listen. I've had gray hair on my head for a long time. I've had gray hair in my beard for a long time. I've embraced that.
You're going to get gray nose hairs.
But,
you're going to get gray eyebrows.
Gray in the eyebrows. What do you do with that?
You trim it the same way that you.
I know, but you get a little
groom everything
white
else.
Patch in your eyes?
Yes.
That's weird.
Well, that's your crown, bro.
George, you have white in your eyes. What do you do with that?
On my eyebrows?
Yes.
If I see one, I pluck it.
You do pluck it.
I don't pluck mine. I just trim them like normal.
So you get white hairs in your eyebrows and you just go?
Just leave it, let them be.
Why don't you just get Hyrule, tattooed?
What do you do with white hairs?
I would just tattoo it.
Tattoo it. You get a tattoo that says what?
Nothing. You just tattoo it.
No, tattoos on your face, I'm out.
So you get like Don Omar tattoo on your neck or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how you Maluma deal with it? Maluma text? Tattoo?
Like my girl, I had eczema on like on my elbow the other day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to just get it tattooed.
Why? I don't understand. There's like lotions for that kind
of
stuff.
I have a bruise on my arm. Let me just put some ink on it.
This is Gen. What generation are you?
Gen Z.
This is Gen Z solution. Gen to everything Z. Is get a tattoo.
Just get a tattoo.
You know they make moisturizer.
They do.
There's thing called cream.
I was thinking you guys
because you have to put that on anyways you get the tattoo.
Yeah, you got to do that. Anyways.
I was thinking you guys would say just for men. I was thinking you guys would say like pluck it. This guy says a tattoo.
Listen, for those that are out there that like to do Just for Men, there's nothing wrong with that. That's their prerogative.
I have used Just for Men.
I don't personally do that.
Have you?
Yes. The problem with Just for Men is it lasts like 3 days, and then you have to Just for Men again. And
I've never used it.
No, I
can
tell.
Any product.
No, I can tell. You embrace this.
I asked Lisa, I said, do you want me to cut? She says, nope.
No.
Because why, George? What's the verse?
Gray hair is a crown of glory.
Okay.
But also, there is something about like an aged man that looks like he hasn't aged a day. It's just kind of like, it's confusing a bit. You know?
Not only is it confusing, but I don't know what it is.
But are you suggesting
this is what I'm saying
that George...
is that I don't necessarily trust somebody initially that it's like putting on a face. Like, if you're not being honest.
But are you suggesting that George doesn't look like he's aged a bit? Because in my mind, he's got some age.
Yeah.
I don't think so. George, if I didn't know how old you were, I think you're at least 10, 15 years younger than you actually are.
I would think so.
So you're what? Are you 70? So he's thinking you're 60.
It's all those years.
I didn't say that.
I'm 61.
It's all those years of bodybuilding that George.
I was gonna say you look like you're in your mid 40s.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh God, you guys. Okay, so question for the group: what's the weirdest grooming thing that you currently do? I know what yours is. You get tattoos and cornrows. So you're embracing the urban lifestyle, Jairo. Cornrows and tattoos. Yeah.
The grooming thing that I do.
Grooming thing that you do.
I got a really good one for you. Okay,
what's that?
So my kids, when growing up, I have a significant amount of hair. And so my kids used to
you don't
call,
say.
My kids used to call my arms and the hair on my arms, my arm curtains.
Dad, can we
That's
go
a
in?
Good one.
Can we hide under the curtains?
My kids are like texture, so they would be like kind of brushing or rolling their fingers through my arm curtains. So we were going to Hawaii one year, and I trimmed the hair on my arms, and actually it was great.
How did you trim it?
I just used a beard trimmer, same way I use it for my beard.
I trim my arm hairs.
And to tell you the truth, you know what's crazy?
I do.
I swimming with trimmed I was faster.
Well, don't
faster
look don't look at me like I'm weird. I've seen your legs,
never
man.
Never experienced this.
This
before.
Dude doesn't trim his legs.
I have
no. You don't trim your legs. You shave your legs.
Yeah, but it doesn't grow.
Look
anymore.
How smooth that is.
No, that's no a baby
you probably lasered those things.
No, it doesn't grow.
No, you know what happens is if you if you shave it or if you cut it, it actually grows back less.
Yeah. So his legs look like he's.
It's completely opposite of the beard hair. You cut your beard hair every day, it grows in coarser and thicker.
Sean, I
like wires.
I do have to thank you, Sean. Speaking of grooming, the last time you were on, we talked about grooming, or we talked about men's health, really. You came on and talked about men's health. That was about a year ago, maybe.
Okay.
And you encouraged men out there to do their regular screenings. And so based on your encouragement, I followed up. It took me 9 months to do so, but I did. I followed up with my doctor and I got a colonoscopy, which I actually had done last Friday.
Okay.
And it was the most...
Let's hear about that experience.
Okay, so...
What is that?
Oh, yes.
Hyro.
This is perfect. This is perfect. This is a...
Come
this
here,
is
young Padawan. Let me show you the
this
ways.
This is an inevitable process that all men
it's the man
will
test.
Have to go through.
First, you have to have the exam.
Wait, is this the thing they...
The digital
they
exam.
They put their finger.
No, that's
no,
not that.
No.
Hold
no,
on. No, no.
Hold on.
That's we'll I haven't had that exam yet, by the way.
That should be
you get that
preemptive. Annually.
That's I didn't. He didn't do that.
Well,
he just scheduled me.
No. You should have that. You should have that annually. But that's you first might for your prostate.
Annually.
For your prostate.
I mean, that was a Freudian slip right there.
Annually.
Okay. Hyro's
I'm ready for my annual exam.
Hyro looks really confused right now.
Okay,
let me explain to you what a colonoscopy is because I just went through this last week.
And it's colon.
So, no, but
colonoscopy, not colon.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Colonoscopy.
But remember.
Isn't it a colonoscopy?
No. It's a colon. It's
because that's what it's for. It's detect.
Colon? It's not colon?
No.
What organ do you have a problem with? My colon. Who's calling you? Wait,
okay.
But first of all,
yes.
Remember, you were under the false impression that you had a
colonoscopy
when you were 18.
No, yes, I do. You're right. I had the two finger salute when I was in the military. They did the finger thing.
They check your colon.
No, they check my prostate.
Yes,
I thought that was
a colonoscopy, but
thought,
it wasn't.
Wait, colonoscopy.
I thought that's what that was.
It's
when
not.
When I used to work
the colon,
for,
your colon and your prostate are two different organs.
Oh,
so here's what happened.
It was the weirdest.
They're near each other.
Okay, so
they're
here's
friends.
The thing.
When they're
I
friends.
Used to work,
they are neighbors.
I used to work for OnTrack in like their warehouse sorting Amazon pack, but I had to go get a physical, and mm-hmm. so this doctor walks in. He's like, "All right, get naked."
Strip.
And I was like. What? And then he's like, get naked. And I was like, okay.
And you
then,
had your cornrows.
And
was
then
it doctor,
I didn't have my cornrows.
Did you get a tattoo?
No, but no. But then he does the two-finger test. And
uh-huh.
I didn't even know what to say. I was
no,
and,
you just
and then he's like, cough. And I was like, He's like, okay, you're good.
That's the wrong side.
So
he says cough.
He had you cough while he was in there?
He had me cough.
I don't know what kind of doctor that was.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
It was
and you
so
know what?
Confusing.
It, the end of his name said DDS. He's a dentist. I don't know why he's doing that. That's
no,
really weird.
I was so confused. He said he was checking my prostate or something.
No.
Not making you cough.
No.
I don't know.
What the heck is wrong with
he
you?
He was not checking your prostate.
So no one is checking
your
cough. Prostate.
Or your
he's
colon.
Checking
cough.
For a hernia.
Dude.
If he's just making you cough.
Dude, I was like.
But that's not in the back.
No. I was like 20 years old trying
to
just get
from
a job.
There.
So we're going to schedule a second
let me just say,
episode so that we can talk with Hyro about his.
Let me just say that Hyro had the same experience I did in the military. I had the same test.
Dr. Colin.
Okay. So here's what happened, Hyro.
That test is weird.
On Thursday, I had to go to the pharmacy. They gave me a gallon jug of stuff. It's this powder. I filled it with water. And they said I have to drink a glass of this stuff every 15 minutes beginning at 6 p.m. until it's gone.
And what that does?
And they said to me.
Is it flushes everything.
They said to me, when you have to be home.
Gets rid of all your colon.
You have to be home. Don't go at 6 p.m. And, you know, first of all, you have to fast all day. So I'm not eating anything but liquids. And so I start drinking this stuff. You know, the first glass, no problem. It just tastes really nasty. Second glass, no problem. By the third glass, I couldn't put that stuff down, running to the bathroom, running. And from there, from about 7 p.m. through the rest of the night, every 15 minutes that I drank this liquid, I'm on the toilet.
And the last one, you just drink and sit.
I mean, it just goes right through.
Might as well just,
it just goes right through.
What is it, like a laxative or something?
Yes.
Oh, it's a very strong laxative.
Very strong. Mm-hmm. And the idea is it has to get everything out of you.
Because the colonoscopy is a camera that they put into your intestines.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the next day, you show up.
And how do you think that camera?
But here's the thing. George said to me, make sure they put you to sleep. So I get there and I ask the nurse, so what time do I go to sleep?
What time am I napping?
What time do I go to sleep? She goes, no, sir, you're going to be awake. Mm. Oh, why? I don't want to be awake.
I want you to watch TV.
They had a monitor for me to look at my colon.
Oh, man.
So you weren't out.
I was not out. Mm.
I had the benefit of going night.
I did not.
And it was.
I guess you can.
I remember waking. The last time I had one, I remember waking up and I said, "Are we gonna do this soon?" She says, "No, you're done."
Yes. Yeah, they literally had me. So they asked me a question and started. I started talking, answering the question. The next thing I remember, I'm waking up.
So they wheel me in.
I don't want to know what they do to me.
And they give you some local anesthetic, but they didn't put me to sleep. And they go in. And it's a camera, and you get
to
see on the
Colin about
and you get to see on the screen.
When you say they go in,
I have a video. I have a DVD recording of my colon now, and I can bring it to show you if you like.
At men's gathering,
we can show it. If you guys let me know.
Identify what this is.
Let me know if you want to show that at men's gathering.
Yeah. It's, what is this?
We make a joke. We make a joke, but it is serious.
Very it's serious. Good that you had but listen, yeah. I want to thank you for pushing me to do this because it's not fun. But, you know, the camera goes in and then the doctor says, oh, wait, and I'm hearing this. And then he starts talking and whispering. He goes, oh, we found a polyp.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the idea. They're looking for these little things.
And right? we got to remove it.
They cut it. They cut the polyp and then they take it back. And I got the results. Not cancer, but they said this was the kind of polyp that could turn into cancer.
Yep.
Undetected.
So without being checked. Right.
If I would have gone another 5 years, who knows, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all that to
good
say
for
is,
you, Mark.
All that to say is you're very young, Hiro.
You know what? It used to be.
Should I get my
no?
They recommended
you're too young.
They used to be at 50. Now it's lower.
They used to be at 50. Now they recommend it at 45.
Yeah. Or well, earlier if you have history.
But talk to your doctor about it because they want to know about your history, your family history. They'll ask you questions about
but
your
it sounds
history.
Like you had one in the warehouse, so you may be okay.
In the back of the guy's van? You're good. You're covered, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that test was weird.
That was weird.
Now that I think back on it.
I just want to know why you're coughing.
Yeah.
Something.
But go see your doctor. Talk to your doctor. Yeah.
So, guys, all that to say, we probably grossed you out. Maybe you're
I can't
not,
believe that you weren't out.
Maybe you're not listening. But if you are listening and you are of age, talk to your doctor about these things and follow through. I did, and I'm glad I did. I honestly, honestly glad I did. So now I'm on a special list, and now I got to do this every 3 years instead of every 5 or 10
because they found
a large polyp. So, but that's okay because I know. I would have never known. So
hey, and throwback to G.I. Joe, knowing's half the battle.
There you go. Speaking of knowing, George, tell us about the finances of America. We got to know what's going on in the world of NVIDIA and others.
We just had a conversation
World of NVIDIA and others.
Mm. NVIDIA.
We just had a conversation about someone who was arrested.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's
Bankman-Fried? Yeah, 22.
But what's on the financial report for today?
What I wanted to share is just encourage those, and I think I've mentioned it before, but it is impossible and it's very difficult to be successful in the market, in your investments, if you're constantly in and out and trying to time it, because it is impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was actually something I just heard yesterday, and he's a very, very well-known, he was a hedge fund manager, and he had... studied just history in the markets, and he basically said that historically, every 2 years, there'll be about a 10% correction, and every 6 years, there'll be about a 25% correction.
Wow.
However, 75% of the time, the market goes up, and if you just stay invested, if corporate profits, which generally are about 8% a year, that's what they grow a year, that's what the market will do. And he said that 30 years ago. And if you look at what the Dow was, which is 20 large stocks, what it was 30 years ago and the growth at 8%, it's basically what it is right now, even with its ups and downs. Yeah. So what happens is human nature, and actually I was talking to Lisa about this, what happens with human nature is when the market goes down, people tend to panic because they see the value of their 401k, IRA, whatever it is. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And they get out. And every single time, the market bounces right back. We had a very large correction in 2022. I think the market went down about anywhere from 25 to 30%. But if you had stayed and not done anything,
you'd be up.
You'd be up by about 15%.
Yeah.
So my encouragement is, as long as you're in the market and you have a diversified portfolio, something very simple like the S&P 500, don't get anxious when the market goes down. Just leave it alone. And the time will continue to allow your investments to grow.
Yeah. George, I got a great follow-up question to that. Yes. So just for curiosity, and hopefully this is an easy one to answer, but when it gets to a place where you're feeling that, say someone is looking at the market and it's feeling like they're feeling like, oh, starting to panic, what do I do? What would you recommend that they do?
It may sound silly, but stop looking at it. Mm-hmm. Really, just stop looking at it, because all it does is...
What's the old adage about a boiling pot?
A watch pot never boils.
Yeah.
Just don't look at it all the time. And what I do is, I mean, I follow the market very, very close. When it's up, I tend to look at it
a lot,
several times throughout the day.
Right.
When the market is down, I don't even pay attention. But I'm not... I don't get anxious. Actually, when it's down, that's when I try to go, as I call it, shopping. Because that's the opportunities to really make money is when you're buying something low. But if you have to know yourself, if you know you're kind of a nervous Nilly and you get anxious, then just don't even look at it.
For people out there who don't have you accessible to them, another thing that's super helpful to me was talking to people that I know that follow the market. So I'm not looking at my portfolio, but I'm talking to people that follow the market. It's helpful for me to hear a voice of reason say, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
But if you are listening to this, you do have access to George. And how can they get hold of you, George?
First, email me, jorgef@cachurch.com.
Jorgef@cachurch.com. We also have a lot of things happening in the world of men's ministry. And since Robert's not here, we've asked Jairo to come on in and help us out and give us the announcements for what's happening, Jairo, in the world of men's ministry.
I think my mic unplugged.
Your mic unplugged?
No, I can't hear myself anymore.
I can hear you just fine.
You can hear me just fine. I'm going to just keep talking. All
just
right.
Keep talking.
Cool. All right. Well, in the world of men's ministry, so men, we have men's gathering happening on April 10th. We're going to have Marvin speaking.
Yo.
Oh, there you go. You fixed me. There you go. It's going to be a really...
And I will be sharing my colonoscopy videos. So come on out
actually,
for that.
Share Dr. Collins' information.
Whose colonoscopy is this?
Yes, that's the game we're going to play.
That's going to be our game.
Name that colon.
Marvin.
We should all bring pictures of our colonoscopy and match them.
Marvin, do you know what you're preaching on, what you might be teaching on that night?
I do. Thanks for asking. I'm going to be talking about the ways the culture tries to get us to shift. And how we can identify how we as Christian men and Christian leaders can lovingly but directly and courageously confront a constantly shifting culture.
Wow.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm excited about, being able to bring
I'm excited
others.
For that talk, actually.
Yes, of course. We invite others to come.
Yeah, that's going
to
be a good
one. But special. We get to bring
some portos and banh mi sandwiches.
No, you don't bring portos and banh mi sandwiches.
No, yeah.
You will receive.
Oh, yes. We get to bring our middle and high school sons.
Yes.
Yeah. So you know, and I think that's exciting. Dads, if you're out there, bring your kids.
Yeah.
Your teenage kids, your middle school and your high school kids. I promise I won't show my colon video.
they won't know. What is that, Dad?
What is that? No, don't worry.
I am
don't
thankful
worry.
For that.
Don't worry. But we will have some fun. We'll have some games. But I think it's an opportunity for them to see us worship or be in worship together.
Totally.
And then to hear a word. Because, I mean, honestly, if you think about a culture that is consistently trying to get us to move away from biblical values, I think the most often the ones that are affected is the younger generations, right?
Totally.
The ones that are still
they're in, the
in public schools and all that. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
What else are we excited about? But also, there's going to be some refreshments.
We're going to have some Portos and banh mi. So,
Have
so
you ever had banh mi?
I have, actually.
George, have you ever had banh mi?
Yeah, I think we had it at a men's gathering a few years ago.
We did. Did you try it?
It was delicious.
It was delicious. Okay, good. So, we're going to have banh mi sandwiches and Portos. Hungry. So, come hungry. After the event. So,
after the event.
Not during.
Also, on April 20th, we have a Cars and Coffee event. I love that.
What is that?
I mean, it's just what it sounds like. It's probably going to be a car meetup with coffee.
That's exactly
refreshments. That's just so if you have a nice car or a Honda Fit like mine, please just bring it up.
Bring your cornrows.
Bring your cornrows.
Listen, here's the thing. Guys, it's like, oh, I don't have a classic Mustang. Who cares? Anything that's interesting. Like if you've modified your car, if you put stickers on it.
I got anime stickers on my Honda Fit.
Bring your Honda Fit. If you've got like an off-road overland vehicle, if you've got a motorcycle.
This is awesome.
Bring it. April 20th, Cars and Coffee in our South Side parking lot.
That's interesting you said that. Off overland. When I was at the auto show with Kanan.
That's a big deal right now.
Yes, they had a section. I didn't know what that was.
It's basically living out of your car, right?
Yeah. So that was they had like two there that they had.
So like usually it's a Jeep or a Bronco or a truck or something where you have a rooftop tent and you have kitchen out of the back.
Yeah, I think
of it.
This was a 4Runner. They had 4Runners.
I was just at Overland
Expo
car meetup like last weekend.
Oh, were you? Okay,
they're pretty cool.
Very cool.
Oh, speaking of car meetups, Marvin. Your little speaker story.
Oh, I already told that speaker story. So on April 20th, Cars and Coffee.
Yeah, don't miss out. And then the last thing, we have a men's retreat in October.
Woo-hoo! Let's go. First men's retreat since
2019.
2019.
4 years.
So guys, registrations will be opening up on Men's Gathering Day, which is April 10th. And for the first 50, guys, this is actually really exciting. If you register, you will be getting a free retreat long sleeve shirt. And I have been collabing with my friend Ricky, and we've been kind of partnering on the design of this with Marvin as well. So they're pretty awesome.
They're pretty awesome. I like the shirts. Awesome. You're going to want one. It's only for the first 50 guys. So basically, if you come to Men's Gathering, if you register that night and you show us that you registered, you're going to get a free shirt. It's a long sleeve shirt that'll help you keep you warm
and
the retreat and cozy.
Speaking about
at the retreat
cozy
in October.
And warm
as fire.
So, by the way, George looked at you funny when you said the word collab. So maybe you have to
collaborate. Yeah.
Okay. Well, just say the full word.
No, collab. It just
sounds
cooler.
We're not texting here. We're actually talking to each other.
Well, listen, he got a tattoo that says collab. So there you go.
And what, did you have eczema or something?
I want to get CA tatted on me.
What?
Just kidding.
No,
you're not kidding.
Okay, but we had a joke because Robert said yesterday that you were going to get a tattoo that said "I heart Tom Hughes, love and loyalty." That's what you said.
I never said that.
Were you going to get that tattoo put on your pecs?
Yeah, I was thinking of actually on my top.
I heart Tom Hughes.
Oh my god!
By the way, Tom Hughes, if you're listening, we all heart you, buddy.
Yeah. Tom knows better than to listen to this.
He does. Yes. He has plausible deniability.
Yes. Tom knows better.
Has Tom ever listened to the men's?
I hope not.
No. He asked me one time, should I listen? I said no.
Whoa, that's how we can grow our listeners.
No, because then I'll be off the council.
Well, listen, we want to. Hopefully, we haven't offended you yet, but if we have. see, that's called.
I like that.
In the radio business, we call that
transition.
A segue transition. Hopefully, we haven't offended you yet. But if we have, we are going to be talking about a very important topic today. We're going to be talking about having a heart and a mindset that is unoffendable.
Yeah.
And a lot of us read that book last year. Yeah. Sean, you spearheaded that effort for us because you firmly believe in not only the book, but really a lifestyle of living unoffendable, which is a biblical lifestyle, really.
Totally.
And so give us your background, your experience with how this book and this messaging has transformed you. And then, of course, what are some practical things that guys can learn from that book?
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm pretty passionate about it. I mean, obviously, it comes straight from the Word, so it's not anything that could... Brant Hansen is the author of the book, but I don't lift Brant Hansen up to anything other than he's a guy flawed just like you, just like me. The best thing from the book highlighted is that you can actually choose that the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit, all the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And so self-control being a fruit of the Spirit, you can choose. That concept of choosing to be unoffendable really struck home for me. I first read the book right before the pandemic. So it was a buddy of mine who, John Stearns, shout out to John Stearns, living in Texas
right
now.
Shout out, John.
He posted something about the book, and it struck with me. I just finished reading Ruthless Trust by Brennan Manning, and Brennan Manning kind of touches on that idea of loving and trusting God when circumstances aren't great. And so I saw the book, so I read it right before the pandemic. And, you know, this is not news for anybody, but right before the pandemic, I mean, the pandemic affected us all. But my grandparents got COVID during the pandemic, and then my grandparents passed, and they were very pivotal pieces in my life. Then my mom was diagnosed with leukemia, and during the pandemic, fighting leukemia. My dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's a year prior to that. And so my mom was my dad's caregiver, so we moved my dad in with us. And so all these things were happening in my life, and I think it was God's timing that I had just read the book, because there were many things that were happening in my life that offended me. But my response to them was not offense or anger. It was actually the process of giving that to God and living in that tension of, even though I was offended, not living offendable. And as a result of that, Aaron Kendrick and I, who Aaron is a part of our church, we met during the pandemic. I suggested the book to him. We talked a lot about this idea of pride. Anger is rooted in pride. We believe that we deserve better than what we are getting. And so therefore our response is anger, where, you know, God's response to us is not anger. While we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. Right. And so therefore that grace that's been extended to us is, you know, not only we have it's easy for us to accept that, but it's not always that easy for us to extend that to others. And so that kind of was the process of how unoffendable came into my life, and why the kind of the movement started, and why I started suggesting it, why we did it as men's pod groups. I mean, I suggested it to all the staff read it. And then we did, during the last conference, Aaron and I did a breakout on unoffendable. And then, developed three things that I kind of came away from the book. Was pride is the issue. I called it the three P's. So pride is the issue. We feel that I deserve better. So what needs to change in me is my posture, my posture towards God's word. If God's word is the authority in my life, and I wrote this down so I would stay on track, our posture matters. Where we put our faith and trust matters. Humble obedience to God and his word has to be the start. If we're not practicing obedience, then trials will cause us to react from the flesh rather than respond from the Spirit. I talked about this with my boys. I don't want to react in haste. I want to respond with grace. Easy thing to remember. Maybe get that tattooed.
Yeah, Hyrule. I like that.
And so, you know, my takeaway is obedience is not a natural response to circumstances. It's a choice in spite of our circumstances. Obedience to God and his word is strength, not weakness, because Jesus said
I hear that first point, Sean, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. What would you say to the guy, and maybe I've thought this too, but what would you say to the guy who says, well, aren't there some things that we ought to get offended by, or some injustices in this world that should rightfully cause us to want to do something about them? You know, like,
yeah, and definitely
child trafficking or something. Like, there's some things out there that should offend us.
Totally. But the difference is, and here's the thing, is if our posture towards God's word is in its right place, then yes, there are things that we see in the world that are going to offend us, but our response is not in anger. Our response can be motivation for change, because God's word says that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
Gotcha.
And so,
we can do something about those injustices.
Right. But we can do it in love.
Yeah. Okay.
Not motivated by anger. Yeah. Anger might be the process, what you feel Maybe you see something that's wrong, whatever it is, you fill in the blank. That might motivate you to do something, but that motivation should be done in love, not good. In anger.
Got it.
The question too, Sean, because you talked about like anger and stuff, but what are your views on like terminologies that we've used in Christianity, like a righteous anger, right? Like towards sin, or a righteous anger towards injustices, you know, like,
right.
Are they the same coin, but two different sides, or is that a term that like has just been kind of misused in a sense? Like,
so this is my humble opinion. I am not a theologian by any means, but Brant Hansen deals with this and talks about it in the book. And I tend to agree. I know that in me, there's no such thing as righteous anger, because I am still struggling with sin.
Yeah, yeah.
And so something that motivates me or changes me or totally. Frustrates me, it is impossible without the Spirit of God to respond in a way where it's righteous anger. God is the only one that can be righteously angry. I can't do it because of this body of flesh. But what I can do is I can process, and then I can take the calling card, what God has said, let everything you do be motivated by love. And so my responsibility is to love my friends, my wife, my kids, my enemies through his love that's been extended to me. So my posture towards his word is motivation number one. And in essence, that takes me to the second P, which is perspective.
Okay.
My perspective changes, because now if I keep, the Bible says to keep your sins, my transgressions are forever before me. And so if I keep that before me, yes, God has forgiven my sin as far as the east is from the west, but this body, I still wrestle against that sin.
Yeah.
And so if I keep and remember the times where God, and the time that God delivered me, then that grace that has been extended to me, how in the world can I accept that grace for myself and not extend it to somebody else? Yeah. That's what God literally in essence does. He's taken my sin, he's canceled it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then daily walking with me to live that out. How in the world can I hold on to righteous anger towards someone else when God doesn't hold that against me?
Yeah, that's
so
true.
My perspective changes. Our perspective matters. Do you remember that your sin is before you? Through God's grace, it has been forgiven as far as the east is from the west, and we are called to love and apply that same grace to our neighbor as ourselves. That includes our enemies as well. And Galatians 5 is the verse that I have on there, but I'll have to read that.
So what's your third thing?
My third thing is practice. And so this kind of ties in, like, if my posture towards God's word and my obedience and spending time with his word changes, right, my view of myself and the world around me, then my perspective towards others changes. And then what I do is I put it into practice. One of the things that I talked about and will continually talk about, Allison and I have been married. I celebrate 23 years of marriage next weekend. And thank you. One of the biggest things that we fought about, there were multiple things that we would fight about regularly, but one of the biggest things, places that we would fight, was in the car, because I was a very aggressive, my personality is a bit aggressive, I'm a bit of an aggressive driver.
Okay.
And so we would fight a lot in the car, because she would be scared to death, because she was like, would you slow down? Why are you trying to go so fast? I'm like, they can't take me over. They're not going to get in front of me. But Brant Hansen talks about this in the book, and specifically talks about it as a form of, why in the world do you not just let it go? Just back off. Let it go. Let people merge. Give them the grace. I read another book where the author talked about driving as spiritual hunting. And I thought, oh, this is amazing. What do you mean? Spiritual hunting, meaning if someone is driving aggressively, they're giving me the you're in the number one, but with a different finger. Instead of getting angry at them, turning that around and saying, God, I don't know what's going on in their life, but God, would you work on their behalf? And would you use my grace and mercy towards them, backing off, letting them merge, slowing down, actually affect them for change? And so this has kind of affected my driving. I've slowed down a little bit. I turn the, I mean, You can listen to the Manly Minute on your way to Newport Beach because it's really good for you to,
it's great
to
for
participate
you.
In yes. that. But I turned the radio off because the radio was a distraction for me. And I spent time while I'm driving with the Lord in constant communication. And that helps me to be quiet and actually practice silence and hear from him. And, you know,
well, you know, one of the things that we talked on the last podcast, we talked about mastering the four M's, but one of those is mastering your mornings. But I think that's such a key to what you're talking about. If I start my morning with Jesus and I'm in a pace of life where I'm unhurried and I'm in, it just makes having an undefendable heart throughout the day that much easier.
It's true.
When I miss that time and I fly right through it, and now I'm already like angry at my kids. Let's go. We're late for school. And then I'm late for work. And then I didn't get my coffee. I don't get to eat. Like, all of those things matter. And you know, really the key was 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Right?
And even if there are times when you don't have 15 minutes, but if you have it in a regular practice, say there's a day where you get up late or you sleep in or you can't do that 15 minutes, your posture towards God's word and saying like, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. God, please, would you be with me today? I'm frustrated at myself. I'm frustrated at the fact that I wasn't, that I didn't. And that grace, then the perspective, God's grace extended to you. I accept that for myself. Oh man, affect that for my day. And then you can go on from there and might be less likely to blow up at the person on the road or be in a hurry or those types of things. You give yourself the grace that God has extended to you and then turn it around and extend that to others.
So the root of offense is pride.
Pride.
Having perspective.
Purpose. Or I'm sorry. First is your posture.
Posture.
Posture towards God's word. Perspective towards the grace that's been extended to you, and put it into practice.
And put it into practice.
That's great, Sean.
So guys, we want to be men who live that those principles, right? Yeah. We want to be men who live out that heart of being unoffended. We are, you know, moving into probably a season of our country where offense is rampant, which is election season,
and
right?
I want to say something too about that is the fact that, listen, you will be offended.
Yeah.
It is going to happen. It's about your response.
We have
that
a choice,
can change.
Right?
You have a choice in the way that you respond to the offense. There are people, I'm sure there are things that have said on this podcast that maybe might have offended someone.
I'm sure George
but
offended people when
his
commentary over here.
God is not the one that changes. Our circumstances change. Life circumstances change. Offenses change. But God does not.
Yeah. So good.
He is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah, so I'm glad you clarified that, because it's not to say that you're going to overlook things that can be offensive.
You are going to get
offended.
You're
going to see them.
Yes.
In fact, you're going to see them through a different lens.
Right. And I if you choose to do this, I guarantee you, you're going to be tested in it.
Yeah.
I tell every single guy that I suggest the book to, you're going to be tested in this.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I just talked about this morning. Followed a guy who was talking about the book of Job, and he said, God said to the enemy, have you considered my servant Job? And so I've practiced this and put it in my life, is that whenever I feel a test or temptation or struggle or whatever, it's like God is saying, have you considered my servant Sean? I then turn it around and say, I want to honor God, whatever this circumstance is, because my name is on God's lips too.
Yeah.
Your name is on God's lips too.
That's good.
Okay. Well, again, we want to be men here at Christian Assembly that practice that, imperfectly maybe, but practice that as best we can. So, guys, if you've not read the book, would encourage you to pick up a copy of Unoffendable by
Brant Hansen,
and read it.
Small plug.
Yep.
Small plug for the men's retreat. For those who are planning to come to the men's retreat, Jairo and I are going to be teaching a breakout on another one of Brant Hansen's books. It's called The Men We Need.
Oh, man, that sounds amazing. That sounds amazing.
I love that book.
That's a good book, and it's good. Brant Hansen is a great author. So pick up a copy of Unoffendable. You can read it or listen to it or however you consume.
Yeah, audio is great because Brant actually does it.
He's a radio guy, right?
Yeah. And it's really, really good.
It's kind of like listening to a podcast, really.
Yeah.
So pick up a copy of the book. I don't think we have any plans for small groups at the moment, but if you want to talk to Sean about that.
Yeah, come talk to me on the weekend.
Sean would love to get a cup of coffee with you.
Sean, S-E-A-N-S at cachurch.com.
It's not C-H-O-N?
It's not Sean. It's Sean. You can send me
an email. C-H-A-W-N?
No.
Sean, no. C-H-A-U-N? No?
No, it's Scenes. S-E-A-N-S.
Not Colin?
Not Colin.
Not Colin. Okay.
Send me an email.
Sean S at cachurch.com. I'm sure you'd love to grab a cup of coffee with Sean just after Easter. Just, you know, wait till after the weekend.
If I don't respond to you, it's not that I don't love you. It's just that it's Easter.
Today is Thursday. Tomorrow we have Good Friday services here at CA. And of course, this Saturday and Sunday, we have Easter services. So can't wait to see all of you around. But really looking forward to our men's gathering on April 10th. Hope to see you guys there. Bring a friend, would you? And make sure you continue to share this podcast with someone else and let them know that you heard George, Sean, and Jairo on there. By the way, if you get a tattoo, make sure it says men's podcast or something like that.
Yeah, or I Heart Tom.
I Heart Tom. Love and loyalty.
Love and loyalty.
Well, thanks, guys. Go Dodgers. Woo-hoo!
Go Dodgers.